Mr. and Mrs. Autism and all the ships at sea, you're listening to Stim for Stim, the relationship podcast by and for autistic people. I am your co-host, Zach Budrick. Who else is here with me today?
Hi, Charlie Stern, and Paris is around here somewhere, but he's being pretty quiet today.
And I'm Joy Solid Snack, or aka Solid Snack.
Hey, great to have you today.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So Joy is my friend, formerly from Brooklyn, now living in DC, and they're actually the person who named the podcast, and
right.
They are a Twitch streamer, a cosplayer, all sorts of things. I want to have you talk about yourself, because, you know, you're the best person who knows you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I haven't really been up to much this year, honestly, like...
Well, I mean, we're about to talk about that because none of us have been doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the content that you put out and how that's been going during the pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, so basically, all I've really been putting out so far is just like, you know, doing some like very small streams. And like, I also did kind of my first cooking stream, which was like, trying to edit it for like video on demand stuff. It's been like a total disaster, but it was, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. Like, I feel like a lot more people are sort of looking for like different sources of entertainment, just because like we're a lot of traditional methods are, you know, like not really virus safe, you know. Like, yeah, there are some states that have, like, opened up, like, movie theaters and whatnot, but, like, you know, sometimes people just want to, like, have fun, like, within their house.
Yeah, and I feel like, for me personally, if I'm watching a stream, that's sort of, like, keeping me company in a different way than if I had a movie on, for example.
Yeah.
Sure. So I want to introduce our listener topic, because it's all about COVID and also all about dating. But this person, first of all, says that this is our podcast is a much needed antidote to Love on the Spectrum.
That's right.
And I'm very flattered to hear that, because this podcast is founded on spite for that program. But they said that they're in a relatively new relationship where this person is a she/her, and she's autistic. Her new date friend is neurotypical. They're considering different options about what to do about more serious lockdowns coming in the future in New York City, breaking up their routines, causing them to spend less time together. And I guess I want to talk about, you know, online relating to each other. You know, the world of Zoom, which we're on right now, the world of FaceTime, the world of even Netflix Party, where you can just watch something with your friends. I've had to personally get really creative. And I've also had to get really strict and faux monogamous, because I have to know everybody's test results at all times and know what their bubbles are, know who they're seeing, and be like really weird and paranoid and controlling. And so, of course, this has sort of like opened up to more sexting, for example, getting better at taking nudes. And also, yeah, just FaceTiming everyone and watching Netflix together, which we would be doing in person, but now we have all of these different factors. So that's not an answer. That's a beginning to the answer, but that's where I'm at right now, you know, forcing myself to live within these very unnatural rules.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, like, one thing that I guess is kind of like, well, I guess almost convenient about like being a gamer is that like, and then I guess this also like ties into like my experiences with being like chronically ill too. There, I mean, so yeah, of course there was a huge adjustment with like lockdowns and like not being able to like hang out with people in person, but a lot of like these I guess like alternative social methods are like there are things that I already do, are things that I'm already like used to doing, either because like I had periods where it was, difficult for me to like meet up in person, or, I just wasn't comfortable doing so. So I don't know, like I think that like I don't know, like I do a lot of like watch party type stuff where we just put something on and then like either sound off in like text chat or even voice chat, like talking over the movie, which is like really bad for like audio processing stuff. But I mean, if it's just that you want to have something in the background. But online gaming itself actually has been like a really nice I guess source of socialization. It's like I don't know, it's kind of like the I guess sort of the only real like positive interactions I'm having with strangers besides like people trying to talk to me at the grocery store and stuff. Like I don't know, it's nice, like it's nice to sort of just like since it's not really safe to interact with people, in like, I don't know, most methods, it's really nice to just sort of, I guess go into a, digital world where, we can interact in like many of the many similar ways. Sorry, I'm rambling. I don't know
No,
if you're
you're
fine.
yeah, go for it.
This it's Ramble City here.
Yeah, no. Another thing I was gonna bring up, I guess, is like the advent of like, well, more. All right, so there have been digital music festivals in the past, and like, but with COVID, just kind of this idea really exploded. Like you have like, really mainstream stuff like, Travis Scott's Fortnite concert, which was amazing, by the way. Like, I really recommend checking it out. And also, I'm forgetting the name, but there was a huge like 3 day long music festival on IMVU. A lot of different like artists are like all coming together and like doing like their own festivals. Like there's even one I'm like going to, I think like on the 13th. But that has actually been like a really nice way to hang out with people. Just because like, yeah, I can't exactly like go to a show and like have a bunch of people like just sort of like, doing their thing. But
Sweating on you.
yeah, but like, instead I can be in bed eating a sandwich and like, yeah, I'm still listening to like trance music, I'm still listening to like breakcore or whatever, but have all of these people, in chat, are all like still talking to each other. It's like it's actually, I guess I want to say like a more comprehensible type of interaction, because like then I don't have to worry about like not being able to like hear what anyone's saying over the loud music. And like if it's a smaller show, I can actually like see the chat for individual people a lot easier. I don't know. It's not like I can get or I guess I sort of I really empathize with like the isolation that everyone's feeling right now, but I also do feel I guess like energized by like some of the alternatives that have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you and I have gone to shows before, but there's so much planning because both of us are chronically ill, and it's like sort of a roulette of like, when our good days are going to line up. And I mean, a lot of my life hasn't changed, but I do miss that option. I do miss like, for example, just like running errands, like aimlessly running errands, like giving myself something to do that doesn't need to be done. And the there's a writer for The New Yorker, Rachel Syme, and she was tweeting about New York City and the death of the fuck around. And that really hit me hard. because, you know, obviously we're able to attend shows online, and I just went to a gallery opening in Ireland the other day. That nice. Was just like from someone's, I mean, it was from a gallery that they had, like painted and put a bunch of, furniture into. So it was almost like a living room, and they were just streaming from there. But I do miss there being an antidote to cabin fever. Mm-hmm. That's definitely hard for me because in the past, you know, being a shut-in, there was once every 2 weeks where I could go out, and that, you know, little asterisk doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. One of the big things that I miss, that I guess I've only really recently been thinking about how much I miss from an autistic perspective, is just the movie theater experience, which I know that neurotypical people, a lot of them really miss it as well. But I just feel like the whole experience of going to the movies, capital T, capital M, is what, because film is one of my special interests, I guess you'd say. And that whole experience of going to the movies, everybody just, I feel like everybody sort of understood that it was okay to nerd out during that. Like, it was a whole experience. And in a way that, even though I can enjoy sitting on my couch watching something, it's not really the same. Like, you don't really feel like it's this whole, like, thing that you're participating in with everybody around you. And I guess I was just thinking the other day, you know, that there are a lot of kids who love movies who they can't afford to go to film school, so they end up, you know, just getting a job at the theater or at the, like, the video store. And it would really suck if both of those experiences ceased to be a thing.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that theaters are able to, like, somehow pull through, like, the financial devastation of this pandemic, because it's definitely, like, they're definitely one of my favorite social spaces.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, IRL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so good for going alone. Like, absolutely. There's no shame or awkwardness when you're sitting in the dark alone, because everybody's sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, definitely, like, when, like, I guess sort of at times where I, you know, wanted to be and interact with people, but, like, I guess sort of in a more passive way where, like, I'm not necessarily, like, you know, talking to anyone, but I, you know, didn't want to be alone. Like, movies are just great for that, because, like, you still kind of get, like, you know, the social interaction aspect of people, you know, I guess sort of seeing people being able to be people. Like, yeah. I mean,
it's to get kind of biblical with it, it's a way to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
At least at home, you can put the subtitles on.
Yeah, that's big.
That is wonderful.
Can pause if you want to get up and get a snack or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the only downside to home, or one of the downsides to home, though, is that you cannot enjoy the thrill of the movie hop, though.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's so much about the COVID world that doesn't lend itself easily to crimes. Like, not as much shoplifting from Sephora is happening right now, now that everything's so clinical and sanitized.
Yeah, gotta it's a lot more difficult crimes.
So, wait, both of you.
Sorry.
I heard computer crimes.
I was just saying you gotta pivot to computer crimes. It's just feels like a
hacking.
Feels like a Sopranos storyline or something, where they're realizing how much the world is changing. We gotta rip off the DoorDash guy.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's difficult with curbside pickup. Like, it would be difficult to do that with everything being, like, curbside pickup now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
just let them think the house is condemned.
Wait, I mean, this isn't this doesn't have to do with dating. We got too far from the mark, unless we're talking about couples who shoplift together, which actually
so like, romantic.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have a friend who made 420 their anniversary with their now late partner, and for them it was a shoplifting holiday. So I really admire that. I'm looking again at the email because I want to talk about routines. Sure. Because obviously, like, everything is thrown off, and we also don't have control over businesses opening or businesses reclosing, or, you know, even public transport is less frequent now, which is actually more dangerous for COVID transmission, because there's going to be more concentrated numbers of passengers on fewer buses and trolleys and subways. So I want to talk about like how to deal when nothing is in our control.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Go ahead, Zach. Do you want to go first?
I can, yeah. A big thing for me, I guess, was sort of taking the time to find new routines as much as I can. And, you know, this is obviously not universal, because, like, particularly with people like chronic illnesses, can't necessarily do that. And I started jogging, which I had not really done before everything was locked down. But it was, you know, keeps me from feeling like you know, stuck in one place all day. It gives me time with my thoughts. It's, you know, it's a way to, you know, change the scenery a little bit. And again, I realize that to be able to, this is just an example, because to be able to do that, you have to have the neighborhood for it. You have to be physically up to it. It's not for everybody, but I guess I'm just more making a general point about how if you find a new hobby, or maybe pastime is a better word than hobby, it can really, something that doesn't require you to reinvent the wheel, but still allows you to break up the monotony, and I guess, for lack of a better word, have like little adventures within your limited setting.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that, like, I kind of get, like, a lot of, basically, since all I've been, like, you know, the only times I'm really going out are, like, essential things, like grocery store or, like, doctor's appointments, like, I guess just sort of trying to make those things enjoyable is, you know, something that, like, I need to do more of. Like, I don't know, like, you know, just put on some music, like, yesterday, actually, and it just kind of made the experience, like, so much, I don't know. Like, it's a small thing, but it made something really mundane enjoyable. And
sure.
It's also, I don't know, it's kind of weird, because there's, you know, everything is kind of, like, you know, topsy-turvy, and you have no idea, really, like, you know, what's going to be happening, like, week to week or month to month. It's nice getting this kind of, like, I guess sort of, like, weird moments of, like, connection with, like, strangers, just because, like, everyone is feeling, like, incredibly isolated right now. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of, it's nice. Like, I've noticed people are, like, way more chatty and or friendly to me, at, like, in public, which is, like, not something I'm really used to.
Yeah, I mean, people talk a lot about COVID being the great equalizer, and I think masks are actually a huge equalizer. And I mean, I'm getting street harassed less, and I'm sure that's a similar experience. You know, all of us are able to be a little more anonymous out in public, and that's really freeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, that's... I feel like maybe a little too much in my case because, you know, I can't grow facial hair at all. It just looks like this horrible, shitty, patchy thing, no matter how much, no how matter how long it takes. But, you know, I'm not going to the office and nobody but my wife sees my face, so sometimes I'll just let my freak flag fly for a few days and let those, you know, horrible, shitty, patchy little hairs grow slightly longer until the, you know, it becomes too much on a tactile level.
Yeah, though I'm allowing myself to get too unclean some days in my little apartment. So that's not great.
Yeah, everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah, I definitely need to get better about, like, I guess sort of having I don't know, more of a solid way of interacting with like I don't know, I guess just sort of like the more essential things I need to be doing for like care.
Sure.
So this is a good segue into back into my sex life, because the few people I have been seeing and the one person I've been seeing unmasked, that person is willing to be submissive and also in service to me. So it's been really great to like tell them to clean for me. That's a very like COVID specific thing that I didn't necessarily ask for. Pre-pandemic, but now I'm just like everything is laid bare. Everybody knows I'm disabled and chronically ill, and I'm like functioning at my bare minimum every day. And so, yeah, I'm able to lean more into the Dom thing,
Hell yeah.
just because I literally need so much cleaning. I need my shower scrubbed and I need my dishes done and my Keurig descaled. So I just make men do that.
That rules.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been freeing to be that honest.
Growth industry.
Yeah, true.
We've got a new disruptor in the shower cleaning industry.
Fuck yes.
Look, Paris is here.
Hi, Paris.
For those who can't see our group Zoom, he just flew from across the room onto my head.
Yeah, my cat's messing around in the background, so she may pop up at some point too.
Yeah.
But
But I do want to talk about this person and their disrupted routines and the person they're seeing because like they could absolutely do grocery shopping together, clean their apartments together, bake bread together, try new recipes together. Like people are really pulling out the stops in terms of like culinary adventures,
yeah.
because they have finally 4 hours to like roast something when they didn't before. So I'm all about, people bonding with their partners over domestic things.
100%. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person here who is married, except for Alyssa, our editor, who is, muted right now, but I felt like this was the case when we first got married. You know, my advice to people was always, you know, before you move in with somebody, figure out the most annoying thing about them and either make peace with that or don't. And I did that, and I'm especially glad now that we are pretty much the only people we're coming into regular contact with. And you know, I think that's fairly good advice for anyone you're gonna be in contact with during during COVID. It's just that, you know, and I think that's fairly good long-term relationship advice in general. Like, you know, I think that, you know, particularly people like us who, if something gets on our nerves, it really gets on our nerves. It's, I think it's extremely important to have a baseline in terms of what you can put up with.
Yeah. I actually just checked out a new apartment yesterday and I went up to the neighbors and I asked them, what's the worst thing about living in this building? And they told me, and now I feel better. I feel more informed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that it's I think that also ties into my anxiety for some reason, or on some level, and I kind of feel like I will never fully disentangle my anxiety from my autism just in general, but my tendency to catastrophize means that I always want to have a clear idea of what's the worst case scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And it's if even if it's scary, I really benefit from that perspective.
Yeah, does it alleviate dread?
Sometimes, sometimes, like, even in that worst case scenario, it can be grounding to remember that, I'm already there. So there's less left to the imagination. I mean, it's after I got my first adult job in Washington, something like 7 years ago, I was like living in constant fear of being laid off. And like 3 years later, I was laid off and that sucked. Like it was the worst I've felt in a while. But again, at the same time, it was, the thing that I had been dreading. So, what was I dreading at this point? And that sort of, on some level, was sort of the ground beneath my feet, and it helped me to figure out what to do from there because I didn't have that hanging over me.
Well, Zach, how do you stay married through all this?
Jeez, I guess it's kind of goofy, but it's kind of the same thing you talked about, honestly, like just finding stuff to do together, like very low key date nights, things like that. We cook a lot together. We go on walks. Rachel's trying to get outside more. We are currently babysitting my mother-in-law's Chihuahua, who,
Oh, that's where the Chihuahua came from.
yes, she is obsessed with me. She starts like going full jumping around, head wagging every time I walk past. And
Aw.
Rachel, like sort of has similar, like Paris positioning with her, where she'll just sit on her shoulder like a parrot or something.
Aw.
Yeah, it's I you know it's I think it comes back to the what Sarah was talking about how you should be married to your friend. Like it's really convenient to have be in the position I am with someone that you can just sort of hang out with and be stuck there, and that's okay, like you do with friends sometimes. It's just, I've said to her a couple times, that there is, I feel like you're the best possible person to be locked down with, and that is, that's really helpful. It really helps us. I think that we are like sort of an old married couple by the standards of people our age, but we're like constantly like finding new ways to bond and discovering new sides of one another. And I think that COVID has really sort of nurtured that.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
Let's see, what else can we talk about? Does anyone have any lingering thoughts about specifically like socializing in alternative ways right now?
I mean, I have said before how much I feel like COVID is the great equalizer socially, and I feel like I am, particularly, I feel like I am starting from the same point as everybody else with something like Zoom. I've been at a couple Zoom social gatherings since this started, and I don't feel disadvantaged relative to neurotypical people necessarily the way I was when we were all hanging out in person. I don't feel like I have to like perform neurotypicality or I'm gonna be like expelled as a heretic or some shit. And because I feel like the limitations of the format apply to me, but they apply to everybody else as well.
Yeah, though I do feel like I'm losing my eye contact skills and my small talk skills in person because I'm still, you know, working. And sometimes the people I'm seeing to take their pictures for money are the only humans I'm seeing all day. So that's really fucking weird.
Oh, yeah. That I get. Definitely. I am. Whew. Yeah.
Joy, I want to ask you about having roommates during COVID. How is that going?
It's mostly been going pretty well. We've all been taking precautions to like make sure that like nobody else is like, you know, I guess unnecessarily at risk. For me, I mean, like, obviously there is, you know, like some tension that will come just from like not being able to, you know, leave the house, and you know, when you're just kind of like, you know, I guess in a high pressure situation where like, you know, nobody has access to like, I guess sort of their normal routine and like things that they would normally do to like help calm themselves, it's hard to I guess sort of keep things going like smoothly. But I mean, while I struggle with communication, you know, like, it's, I don't know, I guess it's been incredibly helpful to be around, like, people that are just sort of willing to, like, talk to me about, like, what, you know, issues, you know, whatever issues are, have occurred and, like, need to, you know, be changed.
Yeah. And I think we should wrap up and go to our segment of the week. But I do want to ask, how is our self-soothing going? Is it better? Is it worse? Are we building more skills? Personally, sometimes I've been so angry and tight-chested out of rage that I've had to crack into my anxiety meds because of that. And that is a very 2020 specific feeling.
So, you know, I have been drinking a little more while we're locked down, and I don't think I'm doing it to self-medicate, which obviously would be a terrible idea, but I am a reporter and had a fairly high stakes last week at work, and so I deliberately didn't keep any alcohol in the house during that, because you know I feel like if I'm gonna drink to take the edge off, it's gonna be bad for me to have it around in a situation this stressful. So my self-soothing in the meantime has probably been more to the effect of, you know, I guess my cats are very, very fluffy is the thing about them. And they are always very close by. And that's not great for my keyboard, but it's good for high tension situations because they absolutely always want to be all up on me. And it's, again, it can be grounding.
Yeah, I've definitely just been focusing on, like, I guess, like, satisfying textures. Like, I don't know if there's, like, a term for it, but, like, yeah, that has, like, helped significantly. I mean, also cooking. Like, I've been, like, just trying to, like, I guess, sort of take myself out of all of the commotion that's, you know, happening, and just sort of, like, have a specific executable thing that, you know, I can do in like a certain amount of time. And that's kind of where I'm at for like that category.
I was just gonna say, I find cooking really relaxing as well. I just really love an evening where I can just like be alone in the kitchen and be working from a recipe and be listening to a podcast and just have my little walled off kingdom for however long it takes. It just really feels like something that I have full control over. And something that I am able to self-direct and call the shots on, and I find that really relaxing.
Well, are you guys ready for our segment of the episode or a segment of the week? I don't know. We record every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite texture right now?
Charlie, do you have one in mind?
I think corduroy is my worst enemy, but actually, before this recording, I had to dig out a tag from this custom lingerie that I had ordered. And it was so rough against the small of my back
Oh, God.
that it was making me like feel almost unsafe.
Oh,
I
God.
was just like, yeah, I was just like when, a dog or a cat gets a burr on them from outside and they're like running because they're trying to outrun it. That was me in this underwear. So I had to cut the tag out.
So mine is more on a taste level, but you ever think a bowl is drier than it actually is?
Oh,
Yeah, all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah. So I found myself with some damp cornflakes the other day, and I can't recommend avoiding that whole experience enough. Just full 0 out of 10. And
You didn't add milk?
I don't eat cereal enough for us to keep milk in the house because it would end we'd end up not using it all because milk is basically the only thing we'd use it for. But no, this was just a bowl that I had washed but not dried sufficiently. And that's and all of a sudden I get this like horrible little surprise that feels like it's put me off, cornflakes, bowls, and water conceptually all at once.
Oh, that's awful. Sometimes Paris gets his little oat pellets in my
Oh,
water, and
God.
then I drink it. Yeah, it's bad.
Ah, jeez, Paris. Get it together.
God, that's a nightmare. Yeah, mine is also food related. For me, it's like texture of like overcooked steak,
Oh, no.
like or overcooked meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the presidential election.
Yeah. I made a steak a couple days ago, and it was definitely like in ketchup dipping
Oh, God.
territory. Like I was so upset.
Isn't
But
it wonderful how in the recent photos of Trump, he looks barely alive and tanner than ever?
God, it's
That's what I'm thinking in terms of burnt steak, not only the way he takes his steak, but the way his skin is looking.
it's you know. He, I know that that there's this sense that he is like a New York institution, but this whole thing with him formally changing his residence to Florida, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that was on the only logical outcome of all this. Like, Florida is like, feels really, really feels like the burnt steak state.
He's got Florida man energy.
Hell yeah. But like the gate like gated community Florida where everybody in there is still a Florida man, but they own a boat too.
Yeah. I think that's gonna do it for us. Joy, what do you want to plug and how do you spell your username on Twitch?
Right, so my username is spelled SO. L, the number one, D, snack, and it's the same as my Twitter handle.
Hell yeah.
And that's kind of the only thing I'm really plugging right now. Like, I don't know, I have like a couple ideas for projects I want to start working on, but like, I just haven't really like pulled the trigger on anything yet.
Do you have a regular schedule of events and watch parties, and do you have a big one coming up?
No, I don't, but I should. Like, I usually just will like post on Twitter it, like before I'm gonna do a couple hours before I'm gonna do a watch party and see if anyone wants to show up. I'm also in like a Facebook group that's like really good for that. So like if anyone wants to like join that, just hit me up and I'll link you to it.
And I think I'm in that group as well. It's like not only a watch party function group, it's also like you can request if you are looking for a certain thing and someone will find it for you, whether
Yeah.
on Hulu or Netflix or foreign sites. It's really good for that. So I recommend getting in any like good social organization where you can do watch parties and communicate with other people and have fun in group chats.
Oh yeah. Cool, Joy, thank you so much for coming on today. It was thank you for the name of the show, obviously.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you for listening to this episode of STEM for STEM, a relationship podcast for and by people on the autism spectrum. Special thanks to our guest, Joy Solid Snack. STEM for STEM is hosted by Zach Budrick and Charlie Stern and edited by Alyssa Huntley.